This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, I thought Fought was good. I thought we just had a tough time swinging at bats together. And we had some ground balls. We're into a lot of double plays right now. Just had a tough time stringing quality at bats together. Yeah, I mean, this is like we're off to a slow start. Grinding, you know, we've had a handful of good games, but we're having a tough time putting everything together. And you know, it's just the guys are keeping their heads up. We just got to keep working. It's a talented team that isn't. We're not playing to our full potential right now, you're going to go through challenges throughout the season. We've hit a challenge a little bit early in the season this year, which we haven't in the past few years. So, fortunately, it's a long year. We just got to keep going.
So that was Brandon Hyde after the Orioles lost 2-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They were off yesterday. They plan to start a 3-game set against the Blue Jays tonight, but it sounds like that game is going to get postponed. But whenever they do play baseball again against the Toronto Blue Jays, as they sit 2.5 games out of first place in the AL East.
Jeez, you're looking at the standings?
Well, I'm just saying 5-8.
Factual.
They have yet to win a series.
No opinion there.
This is all facts. I'm bringing facts. So does this all of a sudden become a big series against a divisional opponent?
Well, I'll say this. I felt like in that clip, the skipper told no lies. And if we're looking, there's different ways we can assess this team. And we talked in the show a lot yesterday and prior to that as well about – you could look at it through the portal of, you know, who else was rebuilding with them at 2019 and where do those teams stand organizationally now? If you want to bring up standings, we could. But, like, you know, I think of where they were when we were seeing liftoff and they were on an upward trajectory. And the standard wasn't can they salvage a series and not get swept. The standard was they never get swept. Adley Rutschman got here and for a calendar year, nobody sweeps him. And they win way more series than they lose. And then you think about where they are now, where you're hoping they can cobble one at Kauffman. You're hoping they can cobble one out in Arizona. And how did we get there? Well, if you don't have upper-level starting pitching and you don't have depth of starting pitching and you have a lineup that's feast or famine and you take your, you know, arguably most impactful everyday hitter, I say him because he's a switch hitter who did hit in Santander, and you take him out and you just replace him with more youth, and some of that youth missed a lot of the Grapefruit League season because they were hurt, then this might be what it looks like. And the reality of the Baltimore Orioles is they might be a lot more like the group we saw from July on last year than the group we saw from opening day through that Yankee series, you know, that series in the spring in the Bronx. And you know, I brought up some of the numbers before. I'll bring them up again. Since July the 1st of last year, they're 14th in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and OPS. They're just outside the top 10 in number of times held to 3 runs or less. They've played 42 games in that span where they've scored 3 runs or less. They're 5-37 in those games. perhaps because they're not a very good clutch hitting team, perhaps because they don't have enough veteran leadership to get them to focus in close and late situations and be more selfless and understand, have a veteran's mentality to those at-bats. 54 times since last July 1st, the Orioles have been held to 4 runs or less. They're 10-44 in those games. 181 winning percentage. Only the White Sox and the Nationals have a lower winning percentage when they score 4 runs or less since last July than the Baltimore Orioles.
It's not good. It's not good at all, Jason. And they're facing a Blue Jays team in which their offense has been scuffling, but they're pitching really, really well, especially their starting pitching. And they're seeing Barrios tomorrow. Well, who knows whether this game gets moved or whatever.
Yeah.
And they pounded Barrios, but who knows? And you mentioned the trailing numbers, and I was looking up those prior to the show. Small sample size, I get it. But when trailing, 5th most strikeouts in baseball, the Orioles. 28th in RBI. They have 1 home run when trailing, which is tied for last. 30th in slugging. 30th in OPS. They have a 503 OPS. OPS when trailing this year. It just feels like before, especially in 2023 when they led MLB and come from behind wins, when they got down, okay, whatever. They're going to fight and claw their way back, where this year and for the vast majority of last year, the second half especially, when they get down, you feel like they're out.
Since expectations really got ratcheted up, mm-hmm. since they went to the Bronx and clobbered those guys and looked like the best team in baseball, they don't do the, not only don't do the little things well, they don't do the close and late thing well. They don't do the come from behind thing. They look like a young, over their head, front running team where if it's all going well, great. But we can't keep it going well 3 or 4 days in a row. And we don't have a stopper like Burns anymore to stop it when it doesn't go well. And I just think they're built even more for failure now than last year, because last year you did still have that Burns factor. You had a dude, a switch hitter, do something like, how many times does it happen in Major League history that a switch hitter hits 40 home runs?
Sure.
It doesn't happen.
No.
They let him walk and he laughed in their face because they didn't even make him a real offer. You don't have that to default to. Like,
And quite frankly, he didn't hit down the stretch either. I think he put a lot of pressure on himself because nobody was
hitting. No, but that, he's a big part of the games that they won, and he was a close and late guy. How many times did he hit a big 3-run bomb after the 6th inning? Like, so this is how they've built it. And the guys they brought in who were supposed to mash lefties, they can't get a runner to second base against lefties, even with their boys O'Neill and Sanchez and Laureano in the lineup. So I just am saying, I don't, the cavalry ain't coming. Like, if you think Kobe Mayo's saving the day, you're out of your mind.
Well, we've been saying for, it's been since before they played the Rangers in the playoffs, that they need a veteran everyday player in this lineup, and they've chosen to ignore that.
On top of Santander.
Yeah, that's, yes. They need a guy who's been there, done that. They don't have it, and since the losing started and things went sideways a year ago, there's nobody there to show any bit of leadership, and I think that once they start falling behind, it snowballs, and they just...
They feel sorry
for
themselves.
Yes, and they just say, okay, we'll get him tomorrow.
But that's not good enough.
No,
and
it's not.
And that's part of the reason their product sucks.
No, it's not good enough. But that's where they are.
Again, you go back to 2023, and how many people did we have on at that point saying, like, wow, it has to be so much fun watching this team day in and day out. And it was. And that's why it was so jarring seeing the switch in the second half of last year where it total 180.
But again, who's going to stop the rot? Because we've been talking about it. This is month number 4 or 5 now.
Who's holding a players-only meeting?
And even if they do, who's looking at O'Neill, who doesn't know how to catch a fly ball and throw to the right base, and say, bro,
that guy's not doing that.
Well, who is going to do it?
That's my point. There's nobody there. Nobody's going to do it. There's nobody there. They didn't bring in someone that can hold court in that clubhouse. It's not going to be one of the young guys. Maybe Jordan Westberg. But I doubt it. It's not Adley.
Quite, right.
It kind of has to be somebody who's done something in the playoffs.
Well, that's,
it kind of has
yes.
to be somebody who actually has like an October resume, who actually can talk about, hey, you know what? I went through something like this back in 2018, and I did X, Y, and Z, and then guess what? I was part of, like, you would think that people who were around this Astros thing, right? You would think that, like, people who have at least been on the, I'm not saying they had a whole hell of a lot to do with what the Astros did, but they at least were
but
along
they witnessed
for the ride.
It.
They were on the periphery. Would have some appreciation for that side of baseball, but they just don't. In fact, they go out of their way to spit in the face at that every chance they get and double down on their own roster building philosophies, which I'm just telling you are inherently flawed. And I've been telling you that for years.
Well, they don't value the people part of it. It's all
numbers can't quantify
yeah,
that.
It's all algorithms.
Like, how could you have a guy like Aaron Hicks do what he did, and then your answer to that is we're just going to get younger and dumber?
Yeah.
Not like, let's go find somebody. Just think about the lineup that year. Okay, you want to go back to 100 wins. You had that guy getting on base at an elite clip from both sides of the plate. You had another switch hitter, Santander, in your line. Adley was the third best switch hitter in their line. Think about the pressure that was on Adley then, not that much, versus now.
It ain't good. It ain't good. And like I said, if at the top of the show, I don't think they're getting baseball in tonight. We'll get an official announcement from the Orioles, I'm sure, in the next hour. But they are due to start a three-game series against the Blue Jays tonight. If there is Baltimore baseball tonight, it'll be at Pickles. But I don't think that's going to be the Bob Haney and
well, if there is, it'll be in studio. It'll be me and Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it. Otherwise, it's Infinity Sports Radio at 6. But we have a huge show. We are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We'll talk NFL with our buddy John Breach from CBS. Get his thoughts about what the Bengals have done this offseason at 2:30. He's a Bengals superfan. We'll catch up. The NBA, the play-in tournament starts next week. Mo Hamilton, our NBA insider, joins at 4:30. Oh, I'm sorry, 3 o'clock. Best Bets, Ariel Epstein, and our own Beltway Ben Hall. Buck Martinez helps to preview this series at 5 from Sportsnet in Toronto, and more NFL draft talk with Lance Erline from NFL.com at 5:30.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot to get to here. The Blue Jays are an improved team. I don't know that they're a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but we'll take a little closer look at them. We will talk about Jackson Holliday's quality start, but what's fair and you know what's too much to try to put on that young man's shoulders right now with the way this team is scuffling. What does the emergence of Wiggins mean for their secondary and their needs drafting in the secondary? Maybe sneak a little Terps in as well. Let's go. It's Friday. It's a big, cold, rainy weekend.
Yes, it is. And you're
it's even colder in Cortland, New York, let me tell you.
You're going to look forward to that. Hey, coming
outdoor
up next,
baseball, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. first pitch in Cortland tomorrow.
So let's get right into the Jackson Holliday of it all. What are realistic expectations for what he's going to be this season and beyond for Jackson Holliday, who has looked like a much better baseball player than he did a year ago? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Yeah, it's huge. Because, like you said, baseball's tough, and I feel like we've hit the ball hard and right at people, and kind of all up and through the down the lineup, everyone's hitting the ball hard and just haven't been able to find holes the past few games. But it's very important to just trust process, trust that they'll get through and hits will come. It's very important to just trust that.
Jackson Holliday talking about how they've been playing of late, and Jackson Holliday's he got off to a great start. He's now batting .250 with a home run, 4 RBIs. He has 1 steal, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. So that's starting to separate itself once again.
Yeah.
The defense looks much better than it did a year ago. So what do we think about Jackson Holliday?
I think Jackson Holliday has a chance to perform this year like a replacement level Major League second baseman, which would be a major leap from where he was a year ago. And I'm talking offensively and defensively. But I don't think Jackson Holliday is going to take off after May like Jackson Churio, for instance, did last year. I don't think he's going to do what Jackson Merrill did as a 21-year-old last year. Like, I think if you're looking at the flaws in this Orioles lineup and projecting that, well, Jackson Holliday is going to become an impact bat that's going to lengthen the lineup and add pop and help them be better in close and late situations. I think you're being unreasonable. Even though he's a 1-1, I'd say if you're really watching this, you're probably being unfair. I love the fact that he's not chasing. He's still chasing too much. Like, let's not get it twisted. But he's not chasing the unhittable high fastballs that you know he's not going to get to. He's putting the ball in play a little bit more. You know, his average exit velocity is up to 91 from 89 last year. Like, you like to see that. He needs to walk. Jackson Holliday needs to walk. And I don't think Jackson Holliday, unless they artificially try to prop him up or this thing totally falls apart, I don't think Jackson Holliday should ever be batting higher than seventh. I don't care if, you know, somebody's got the mumps and somebody's got strep. Like, I just don't think that's
until
who
he proves
is
himself,
or
yeah.
where he is. Look, and personally, I don't think he's ever going to get close to the kind of hype that was being thrown on him and the way this team was projecting him. I think they're going to look back years from now and say, if we had traded him for Tarek Skubal, we might have got a ring. I think he'll be an average to a above average major league player. But I think the projections about power and speed to power ratio, like I don't know he's going to get on base for any of that, frankly, get on base enough for that to matter. I like what I've seen, but I don't think it's fair, and frankly, I don't think you know what you're watching if you think this kid is going to be some sort of salvation for them at any point this year. I think he could be a fringy contributor. And that's fine. For how old he is, that's fine. If they built the team they told you they built, that should have been good enough. But that's who I think he is.
By the way, Jason, it looks like that draft might just be bad.
It might be.
Like, he could still end up being the best player that was taken.
Drew Jones has been hurt a lot. Drew Jones hasn't got up. He hasn't got to double A yet. But, like,
but that's part of it.
I don't know. But, like...
Yeah, Kumar Rocker, Tamar Johnson, Elijah Green. Like, these guys, nobody...
It's not great.
Yeah, Jackson, he's off to a solid start. He's obviously taken the biggest leap defensively, and you can just look to Tuesday. There's big impact plays, the sneaky pickoff, him going to first base, him on the unassisted double play, on the scorcher, beating the runner back to second base. Really, really nice. He looks a lot more comfortable there. But Ken, you pointed out the strikeout-to-walk ratio, and that was... That ratio was something I was going to keep an eye on because it was so out of whack last year in the limited sample size, where it was elite in the minors. We're off to 11 strikeouts, one walk.
11 to one's unacceptable.
It's got to be better
he's
there.
He's got to walk.
And where he's still really struggling carrying over from last year is he's still struggling to hit breaking balls. I mean, he's batting 154 against breaking balls. 118 last year, so still has to improve a lot there.
Last year, he did not belong in the major leagues in any way, shape, or form. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't bled in the right way. They didn't groom him at second base nearly enough in the minors. This year, he does not look like he completely does not belong in the major leagues at all. But he does not. I don't think he's going to really contribute at the major league level. And I hope that's how they've baked it into their when they pencil it out. You know, Mike pencils everything out.
Yes.
I hope they've penciled it out that this guy, even if their lineup is more fugazi than they thought, is right now at the major league level a number eight hitter if you factor in the speed at most. And I think that's all he's going to be this year. And I bet at the end of the year when we look at his numbers. I don't think it's going to be what Adam Frazier gave him a couple years ago. That might end up being a more on the dot comp than anybody would have ever hoped for. But that might be what it is.
Adam Frazier, yeah, just a reminder, batted 240.
What do you think this kid's going to hit?
He batted 240 with 13 homers.
Yes, and
60,
I don't think he's hitting
13 RBIs.
Homers. I don't think he's driving in 60 runs. What was his OPS?
His OPS was 696.
I'm telling you, I would go to, if there were betting markets for this, I think.
Over, under Adam Frazier?
I don't think it's a 700 OPS. Like, I think that might be what it is. How many does he steal? He probably stole 10.
And now Adam Frazier stole 11 bases.
He's over 700. And he should steal more than 11 bases.
You got to get on, bro. You can't steal first base.
I know.
And when you try to, like Colton Cowser, you end up on the 60-day IL.
No, he could have slid feet first. He'd be fine. And don't get me started on sliding head first into first base.
Like, I don't think there's like going to be some switch that gets flicked and some light bulb that comes on. Like, he's got still a steep learning curve ahead of him. He's playing a solid second base, and that's huge. And that's going to keep him in the lineup and give him the opportunity to work through some of these things. But I just wanted to get ahead of this because I'm starting to hear some people and read some things about, well, how can the Orioles get better? Oh, well, Jack, no. He's not lifting people up. And if he has to lift people up, it's a further indictment of their Fugazi front office.
Coming up next here on the program, we switch to football. It's been a minute since we talked to our buddy John Breach, CBSSports.com. Obviously, Cincinnati Bengals super fan. Get his thoughts on the Bengals and the rest of the division and on the draft as we are less than 2 weeks away. John joins us next here on the fan.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
NFL draft starts in 13 days, 2 weeks from yesterday, or a week from this Thursday if you play those games. Anyway, we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Let's talk some football with our friend John Breach from CBSSports.com. As you may know, a Cincinnati Bengals super fan. And Breach, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's start with what the Bengals have done. And some would say they did what people thought they weren't going to sign Higgins and Chase. They couldn't sign Higgins and Chase, but they signed them both. Were you surprised? What do you think of this?
Well, look, I'm on board with it. But the crazy thing about the Bengals was this was the ultimate damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because you had all these people saying, hey, look, there's no, the Bengals are too cheap. They're too frugal. There's no way they're going to get a deal done with both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Then they do it. And then everyone's saying, well, now they overpaid. You shouldn't pay two receivers that much. Well, guess what? They opened their pocketbooks for once. They had to do it. If this team's going to win, it's their offense. We've all seen their defense play. There's no way their defense is going to improve that much during the offseason. So if they're going to win the Super Bowl in 2025, it is going to be because their offense carries them there. Their defense obviously has to improve, but they're not going to be a top five or probably even top 10 defense in the upcoming season. So it's all offense. You give Joe Burrow his guys, and then you cross your fingers and hope they can carry you to the Super Bowl.
Well, Trey Hendrickson, he's the next domino to fall, Breach. Do you expect him to get dealt?
I think that he is going to play in Cincinnati this year. I think it's just a bizarre situation because of everything that's happened. Obviously, we just said Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins signed these huge contracts, and Trey Hendrickson is out there staring at these huge pass rushing contracts that have been handed out. And when you just led the NFL in sacks, you expected to get paid. I think the only way we see him go, if he is still on the team when the draft ends, I would bet the house that he will be playing for them this season. But that draft, I feel like, is the one spot where somebody calls them, somebody gets desperate and says, here, look, we'll give you a first-round pick for Trey Hendrickson. We need this pass rushing on our team. That's the difference right here. So I think maybe the draft is kind of the last spot where he could be dealt. I still don't think it will happen, but it could. But I do think they will eventually figure something out, even though Katie Blackburn saying stuff she probably shouldn't be saying in public, and Trey Hendrickson still not thrilled with that. So the relationship isn't too good between those two right now, but I do think they eventually patch things up.
You said probably not a top five or a top 10 defense. Dude, they weren't a top 29 defense last year. I'm not so sure. Like, can they fix all this in one draft? Like, take Hendrickson out of it. Let's just say he stays. Who cares? Like, you still need, like, I don't know, four or five other starters. Like, how's that going to work?
Well, it's not going to work, JLC. There's so many holes on defense. You can't fix it in one offseason. That's why you have to take care of your offensive stars. Because there is no way this team – I mean, we didn't even bring up Jermaine Pratt, who's just been completely overshadowed. Yeah. So you have another starting linebacker out there who was trying to get out of Cincinnati, who's trying to get traded. So it's not even just the big three. And so you do have a lot of holes that need to be filled, and you have a draft. You only have six picks, so you don't even have a ton of picks to go and try and do that. I think the Bengals will go heavy on defense in the draft. I won't be surprised if they spend five of those top six picks on defense. And then the other thing is, I think the Bengals are kind of hoping that Al Golden will bring in a new philosophy, and maybe that will bump them up from the bottom three to top 20. I think they would be thrilled if they were a top 20 defense, and if they could just do that, then this could be a good team. Because remember, as bad as the defense was in last season, they still went 9-8. They still lost multiple games by one score. This team very easily could have gone 13-4 if just, say, eight different plays.
But, Breachy, the problem is they scored like 32 points or more in a lot of the games they lost.
Yeah.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. So
how much better can the offense get? They're going to score 50 a game?
That's what I'm saying.
It's the same players they scored 35 with. So what are they going to get to this year? A 40 burger or out?
If the defense can just become a top 20 defense, it doesn't have to be a huge jump. That's the difference. That is what I'm saying right there. Oh, that is where you need to see the improvement.
We're talking.
Way too optimistic?
Spoken like a true fan.
Yeah, we're talking to John Breach, Inside Access here on the Fan Breach. What the heck are the Steelers doing at quarterback?
No one knows. This is such a bizarre situation because you are putting all of your eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket.
And my God,
you do not want to. Yeah, it is absolutely a stinky basket. You don't want all your eggs there. I mean, that is
just
not a. Yeah, what it's just
eggs
you would
are expensive.
Think they would have a better plan. It's not a good plan. It is. You don't get Aaron Rodgers. So what are you? You're going to start Mason Rudolph or somebody you draft in the second or third round, Jackson Dart. So I don't know how the Steelers can feel very optimistic unless there's some sort of handshake deal. Aaron Rodgers talked to Mike Tomlin. He said, you know what, once you guys are done with OTAs and stuff, I'll come sign a deal, but I'm out right now. I'm going to go to Egypt and check out the pyramids and do the crazy stuff that Aaron Rodgers does in the offseason. So, man, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign there, that team is going to be in some trouble at quarterback.
Well, Breach, The AFC North as a whole, Ravens, they didn't have a ton of free agents. They were pretty much treading water and making minor moves like they typically do in free agency. But it feels like the rest of the AFC North as a whole has gotten worse. Do you agree?
Yeah, it is really bizarre to think about that because 2 years ago, we were talking about how this was the best division in football. I think the first division in 80 years to have every team finish with a winning record, and now they've almost done a 180. The Ravens have only been the only team that really you could call a legit Super Bowl contender every single one of those years. The Bengals are right there, but their defense was so bad you couldn't really put them in that conversation quite yet. But at this point, here on April 11th, it really feels like, and not knowing what the Steelers are going to do at quarterback, but it feels like a two-horse race between the Ravens and the Bengals. I'd probably give the Ravens the edge right now, but I can't imagine if I was betting money, betting on the Browns or Steelers to win the AFC North.
What should the Cleveland Browns do with their first pick? What will the Cleveland Browns do with their first pick, and is, does Joe Flacco solve their quarterback needs
damn right
for 2025?
Hey, look, you guys are in Baltimore. You know about January Joe? That guy shows up sometimes. And sure, other games he turns into Jameis Winston and will throw five interceptions, and you don't know what Joe Flacco's going to show up. I think he's good in small doses. Yeah. I think he can be good for four or five games for the Browns. I don't know that you want him as your starter for all 17 games. So I think they need to figure something out at quarterback because you also don't want Kenny Pickett as your starter for 17 games. I do think they eventually draft a quarterback. I don't see that happening with the second overall pick. I think the Browns have to take Travis Hunter. I think
me too.
Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or if you take the pass rusher, that is okay because you're pairing up with Myles Garrett. Your defense is even better, and that's what you need. You get some pressure on Lamar Jackson. Get some pressure on Joe Burrow. But I think Travis Hunter has to be the pick there for them.
Do you like any of these quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, et cetera?
It's an interesting QB class. I am not really sold on any of them. Yeah. My wife is from Alabama. I spent all season watching Alabama football. I like that Jalen Milroe. I think he's such a raw talent. I think in the right system, throw him with, say, Sean McVay, just somewhere where he could develop. I think he could be a really good quarterback. But, man,
Baltimore.
If I'm spending – yeah, Baltimore would be
Baltimore's
a great
got 11
spot.
Picks, Breachy. I've been trying to tell people, go take him. Take him. Take
man,
him on
listen,
second day
listen.
If he's there.
If John Harbaugh's listening, just turn in the card now. Get Jalen Milroe. But if I'm spending a top 10 pick, first round pick on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, there's a number one overall pick. I am not feeling exactly confident that that's going to be a guy that's going to turn my franchise around, and turn me into a Super Bowl contender in the next few years.
John Breach, always great talking to you, man. We appreciate your time and good luck. Good luck getting some defense in the draft.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on the program,
he's a true believer.
Yes, he is.
Man. Love that kid.
How about love him.
Top 10 defense. How he slid that in there?
I think you have to lean Ravens over Bengals.
His arm. Yeah, he begrudgingly.
Yeah. One team can actually get stops. The other one, anyway. League at large, and
we got Pagano, man.
That's right. Joe Flacco, he's back in Cleveland. Josh
Flacco
Johnson
goes back.
He's up.
All right.
He's down the road. Both getting jobs. Backup QBs. What do we think? We'll tell you League at Large next year on The Fan.
Third down and goal. 12th play of the drive. Johnson and caught for the touchdown. A lasered abatement of 4 yards. And the Ravens have taken the lead.
Flanking Flacco here. Second and 10. Flacco's going to the end zone to fold down.
Westwood One and CBS on the call. And by the way, nobody throws a 4-yard laser like Josh Johnson does. Kevin Harlan on the call. And I think that was
Big
the
Ben at the end of his career threw a good one.
Yeah, he did. And then I think that was the AFC title game, Flacco throwing to Bolden in New England.
You could play anything behind Kevin Harlan talking and Iron Maiden shredding, and it's
pretty
gold.
Darn good.
It's gold. Even Josh Johnson highlights.
So we have two backup quarterbacks, both with Raven ties. Let's start with Joe Flacco.
They can't quit this division.
No. Joe Flacco, future Ring of Honor member whenever he decides to hang it up, and he doesn't seem like he wants to hang it up anytime soon. So that's a 1-year, $4 million deal to go back to Cleveland. He can make up to $13 million, I assume, the incentives if he starts games.
or starts or wins.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, percent playing time percentages.
So this is interesting because I think he wanted to go back a year ago, but the other guy, Deshaun Watson, didn't
want him. Oh, no, the other guy didn't want him there, and the owner capitulated to that guy. But now that Watson blew his Achilles out again, and they're already talking about him in the past tense, and the owner knows he's a sunk cost and doesn't want him in the building anymore, now they bring Flacco back. The problem is Flacco in Indianapolis did not look like Flacco in Cleveland.
He's 2 years older.
Physically, just confidence-wise, arm strength wise, I mean, even maybe especially mobility wise, like I'm not telling you he was Michael Vick when he was in Cleveland for that stretch run, but he looked like a guy who could protect himself and take 7 yards if they were there and at least use his body to avoid intense pain. Like he could do that in Cleveland. He did not look like that in Indianapolis.
Well, with Watson, then he put out the video saying, hey, doubt me. I'm going to get back to
good luck.
All right, whatever. Good riddance. Buddy. Have fun. So Kenny Pickett's there. So are you expecting Pickett to be the week one starter or Joe?
And then they're going to.
Or door number three.
Or do they still go trade for Kirk Cousins? And,
I don't know if they're going to do that, but I think they'll draft a quarterback day two and let this all play out. I'll tell you this. They're all going to end up playing because if they start with Flacco, he's going to be 4 or 5 weeks, and then that's going to come to probably a painful end for him. And if Pickett plays, I don't think he's going to keep the job for long, and then you go to the kid. So I would put the over-under on 3.5 quarterbacks to play for the Cleveland Browns this year.
Well, that's fun. Let's continue the fun and frivolity as Josh Johnson has himself a job. And shame on us. We thought he'd just be sitting out there and the Ravens could tell him to go coach high school ball. And he might still end up getting cut by the Commanders because they got four quarterbacks there. But the Commanders have signed him to a one-year league minimum deal.
You know, look, so Adam Peters is the GM there. Yes. Adam Peters came from San Francisco, was in San Francisco a long time, dating all the way back to overlapping with when Jim Harbaugh was there. So he would be familiar with Josh Johnson all the way back through Harbaugh bringing him there to San Francisco when Peters was a young executive there. And obviously Lamar Jackson really liked having Josh. Like he clearly got along with Josh Johnson, and Josh Johnson is something of a mentor. So Jaden Daniels develops and looks like a superstar. So I see what I can get. You know, I get it. Like, but I think you could have done this the day before training camp or whatever, but
they also have Mariota on the roster. They have the kid from Notre Dame, Sam Hartman, on the roster. And so Johnson's the fourth quarterback.
Here's a question. Who lasts longer, Joe Flacco or Josh Johnson, their careers?
Well, Joe actually plays.
It seems like Joe's content with continuing to run it back, even at age 40.
Well, yeah, I don't know that Josh Johnson would actually play any. Like, I don't know that there's a scenario where he actually plays football this year. But I think Flacco. I just told you, I think Flacco will.
No, for sure. But I'm saying who lasts longer in the league is what I'm saying, because both of them want to continue.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they brought Mariota back, so like I don't think they did that to. To trade him. Like, I think they value Mariota. If Jaden gets hurt for a couple weeks, we're cool with Mariota. You know, Hartman is a nothing burger at this point. I mean, maybe he's a guy who they just cut or trade for a conditional 7 if somebody gets a quarterback injury. The thing about Josh is you could just keep him on your practice squad. Yep. So he's there to mentor. He's not taking up a game day spot. And again, like I said with the Ravens, and then you get in an injury crunch in another position. And so you cut him from your practice squad for a few weeks. No, I don't think anybody's picking him up.
And I think you were alluding to this, Jason. I'm a little surprised that he was signed now. They're like, where's he?
But their thinking probably is we want him around Jaden.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, Mariota's a weird cat. Have you watched even the Netflix quarterback thing?
I did.
He's I don't know. I mean, and look, by all accounts, they got along. And I'm not implying like he doesn't get along, but like, I don't know that his mentality, work ethic, like, I don't know, man. Like, if they thought he was the end-all, be-all as a veteran leader, then there's no way you're bringing another quarterback into that mix. So, to me, it's telling me this guy would be there more for kind of the mentorship, whereas I don't really know that that's Mariota's bag.
And let's go back to where we started before we step out. You think the Browns take a quarterback, maybe top of the second round? Because they're going to take
top of the second round, maybe top of the third round.
Yeah, because they're going to take one of the other guys in the first round
Friday. But I don't know that it even has to be their first pick on Friday.
Yeah, because they're going to take probably Travis Hunter.
I think they're taking Travis Hunter.
Yeah,
like right today, if I had to do a top 10, I would go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and then I think in that scenario, I have Will Campbell going to New England, and then I would maybe lean Jacksonville. With the kid from the big tackle from Missouri, Membo. I think they just go safe. And it's a rookie head coach, offensive guy. He's trying to fix Trevor Lawrence. The right tackle they drafted a couple years ago is not very good. I mean, the left tackle's okay. But
you surprised Shador seems to be slipping?
I mean, if he goes ninth to the Saints, how is that? Is that really a slip? The kid's going in the top 10.
Sure. But there's a lot of discussions where he was going to be a top 2-3 pick. So yeah, it's a little bit of a slip.
A little bit.
It just seems like there's a lot of anonymous people are putting out there that they don't like his A, athleticism, or B, you know, the whole.
I mean, he's not twitchy. I mean, he's not like, he's not Jaden Daniels. I mean,
no, he's not.
He's athletic. He is not an uber athlete. He's way more of a traditional, old school pocket passer than a lot of these other kids. He's not looking to run. He runs as a default, and he can run pretty well as a default. It's not as much incorporated into his game as these other kids. And the problem that teams have found with him is because he is so old school, and because his footwork at times is off. That not only does he have a tendency to hold the ball too long, but he holds the ball too long, and it wasn't a 7-step drop. It turned out into an 8.5-step drop, and the launch points are off, and it throws some things off, and it forces him to overcompensate. And he took a lot of first down sacks, which with some scouts is a real red flag. Now, we're having this whole discussion here, and if Friday night or Thursday night. Jimmy Haslam gets up in that war room and says, I want Shador Sanders. I got news for you. Shador Sanders is the number 2 pick in the draft, and there's no slide whatsoever. And I can't tell you. No, I don't know that anybody could tell you that there's no chance that happens. He could spend 3 hours on the phone with Deion Sanders next Wednesday night, and he could hang up from that discussion, walk down to their war room, and take Shador Sanders from number 5 on their big board to number 2 on their big board. And guess what? Cam Ward 1 and Shador Sanders 2. Crazier things have happened in this league. Crazier things happen in this league every year.
Coming up next, it's Friday. Time for our best bets. Our friend, the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, and our own Beltway Ben Hall. Next here on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.